You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 8, Episode 19 coming your way this week. It's Kieran Burke and Gary Riley with you as ever. We're brought to you by our main sponsor, Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. We're joined on this week's show by Carlisle United striker, Georgie Kelly, of course, a real fan's favourite during his time in the league, particularly with Bohemians. And we're going to speak to Georgie about his future because he's been spotted at a few games during his summer break here in Ireland. So that's led to some rumours that maybe a League of Ireland return could be on the cards. So we're going to ask Georgie up front about those rumours and whether there's any truth in them. And we'll get the lowdown on how things are going in the UK from Georgie a little bit later on. But Gary, I suppose the last few podcasts have coincided with the Euros. So we've had a little bit of a rabble at the start about the Euros. We're recording just after that thrilling game between Turkey and Austria. More of that, please, in the quarterfinals. That was great entertainment this evening.
Yeah, it was very good entertainment, I have to say. There was a couple of, would you call them duds?
Yeah.
Particularly, we'll say like that French-Belgium game. Belgium are a really bad side.
Yeah.
For a team rammed full of superstars, okay, not really bad, but like, just they're not great. And it's kind of, you know, I know Kevin De Bruyne was asked about the golden period or whatever, but this actually was their golden period. He was comparing them to France. Belgium haven't done a heap in obviously the international game, but in major competitions. Did they get to the third place final?
They did. And was that the last World Cup? Yeah, I think that was the last 2018 World Cup. I think they got the bronze medal.
Yeah, and you know that's very respectable. But like this was their golden generation. These were the best players that have ever been produced from Belgium, and you know, really poor exit in the Euros this year.
Didn't get out of the groups at the last World Cup.
Yeah, so not great. Like I would say, even when you look back on, I think Italy didn't get out of the Euros after they won the World Cup. France did it. Germany did it.
Other way around, you mean? Is it after they won the Euros, they didn't get into the World Cup?
Oh, no, no, but I mean, like, getting out of the groups. Didn't Germany not get out of the groups in 2018?
Yeah.
That boy, Tony Cruz, he won me a heap of money in that in that game against Sweden with that free kick. But, yeah, it was just like, you know, there always is that, like, kind of lull or, you know.
Cycles, yeah.
Yeah, the difficult second album, as it's called. And never really, I don't think Belgium ever really probably hit the heights that were maybe expected of them, considering some of the players they had. The Belgian-Slovenia game was great crack as well. Lots of good stuff, but some of the games haven't been as exciting as you might have hoped. But I think with the teams like Turkey and Georgia added a bit of crack to it.
They certainly have, haven't they? They've been probably the stories of the competition so far. Like, the top nations aren't really firing. I think Spain have been the most impressive so far. Germany maybe starting to move through the gears a little bit, but if a decision here or there went the other way in that Denmark game, who knows? They might have been out already. England obviously haven't got going, but that Bellingham moment, that's one that'll be unreal in the years, isn't it? Or whatever the English equivalent of that show is. Like, that was just an unbelievable moment built for tournament football, that Bellingham overhead.
Yeah, it was class. Bit of a gut punch, but for the non-English supporters. But look, it's part of it. You've often seen it. Last minute equalizers, and then they go on to do it, win the tie. So look, it was grand. It was fine. Some of the shy talk around the English team is very trying at the moment. It's boring. Like, even I think at the halftime of the game last night, the evening game, they were talking about the English
on our team.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Yeah, not great, but look, I suppose they're obviously stuck for stuff to talk about on RTE, but I just think it's just way too much fanfare, way too much talk about it, like particularly over in Ireland. So hopefully that'll move on.
That's one thing I really, this not just RTE, but even the English channels you watch. One thing that really annoys me is, like, as you said, you're watching Austria and Turkey there tonight or whatever, and bar the generic stuff that you could look up yourself, you don't really get told too much before or at half time, and they generally find a way to segue to talking about England or Scotland, whoever. Yeah. Look, that's their audience. It's fair enough. But, like, so many former players on these shows now that are offering very little. I don't understand why you can't get an expert. If Turkey are in action tonight, there must be an English-speaking Turkish football expert somewhere you could get on that would be very, very interesting. Maybe I'm too much of a football anorak, and maybe the vast majority of people watching television don't want that type of thing. I know the Europa League final recently, there was a lot of talk about BT or TNT that they had James Richardson on, the European expert, and that he was absolutely brilliant. He was getting all sorts of plaudits after it. Me and you were at the game, so we didn't see it. Like,
yeah.
But that's in comparison to last year's Champions League final, where it was all about, oh, how do you feel, Julian Lescott? How do you feel City's about to win the Champions League? Like,
yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It really lacks that insight into these different nations at times, which can be frustrating, but...
Maybe. I think part of the issue is if you look at Sky and you have Micah Richards leaping around the place, or Jimmy Carragher doing something stupid, or some other...
It's all clippable stuff now.
It's all clippable shite that no one actually cares about. And, you know, I remember some lad going on about the value of the old dodgy box. And it's like, imagine paying £60 a month for, I think it was after Daniel Sturridge did some dancing on a broadcast.
Yeah, it was.
And it's just like, imagine paying £60 a month for this shite. So I think that kind of shows the, you know, the direction that's going in. I don't know if there's probably plenty of American football fans. I know that Tony Romo, when he joined CBS, Tony Romo, for the uninitiated, was quite a good quarterback. Never won a ring, never won a Super Bowl. But when he joined CBS and he was doing his punditry, but he was actually the co-commentator, he was actually able to, like, read what exactly was going to happen in advance of it happening in front of his face, because he was such a good QB that he was able to see it. A lot of people hated that. They just wanted to watch the game without him telling you what was going to happen. But for me, who wouldn't get to watch it an awful lot, because, you know, it's on late and it's on Sunday nights and stuff like that, it can be a bit... it was great to understand, like, how he could understand that and, like, he'd draw on the screen and all that stuff. But a lot of people didn't like that. And, you know, they probably went for too much of an expert rather than a bit of a middle-of-the-road person, so...
Well, look, sure, we're perfect in everything we do on this podcast.
So. Yes, absolutely.
So stick with us. We'll get stuck into the League of Ireland action. It was great to have the league back last week after the summer break. And we got some big, big stories as the league resumed after its recess. We'll start with the Battle of the Rovers. It was Sligo Rovers that beat Shamrock Rovers by 2-0. It was Power with the 2 goals for the Bitter Red, former Shamrock Rovers man, of course. We'll talk about him a bit more in a moment, but... Is it all over for Shamrock Rovers? The drive for 5, is it time to say goodbye to that?
I think that has to be a serious conversation. I think we're running out of games, running out of time. I don't think between Europe and stuff like that, I don't think they're going to be able to pull it out of the fire. Like, how many points are they behind? They're 15 points behind. With a game in hand, and there's no guarantee that they win it, whoever that's against.
It's gone. I'm happy to say it. Yeah.
Like there's no way, like, even if they won all their games, there's no way Shelburne are going to drop enough points between now and the end of the season. I think they're going to have to, and, you know, the kind of, after the break in particular, losing 2-0 away to Sligo, it's kind of done it, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just not going the way it should be going. And what do you think that's down to? Is it the tiredness?
You'd have to say so, wouldn't you? Like,
Like I'm not just talking about physical, but like mental.
Yeah, I was just gonna say there's greater experts than us out there when it comes to League of Ireland, and we had one of them on the show recently, Gareth McLennan. He used that term about Rovers' mental fatigue, and I think it's very, very hard to disagree with that. And obviously when you have so many injuries as well, we've mentioned him a few times on this podcast, but Neil Warnock, that video where he doesn't want injured lads around the dressing room, he's like, they make me sick.
Yeah.
I think there's a bit like when it's a trying season, there's a bit of mental fatigue and you're looking around and you're like, Jesus, he's not there. He's on the treatment table. That grinds you down. And I think that's probably what's happened to Rovers a little bit.
Without a doubt. I don't think they've done okay in the window as well. Obviously not the current window, the previous one, but like there's just a lot of boys there knocking around that don't have a bag of minutes.
And if you go back to even probably halfway through last season, when it was clear that they weren't at their best Rovers, but they were probably still going to win the league again.
Yeah.
Everyone expected that the winter would be a real transformational one, that it was going to be a lot of experienced players leaving, a lot of maybe younger players coming in. And Stephen Bradley, very quickly after they won the league, said that wouldn't be the case. And he pointed towards the average age not being, you know, over the hill type stuff, that he was going to pretty much stick with the tried and tested. Do you feel now he got that wrong and that there should have been a big turnover there at Rovers last season? Very easy to say now in hindsight, but...
Yeah, of course it's very easy to say in hindsight, but like... Yeah, I suppose hanging your hat on Jack Byrne, who has played, what, 7 or 8 games this season? I don't know how many... You know how many 90s he's got, if any at all this season. But there's
I'd be surprised if he's played that many.
Yeah. No,
you're right. Yeah, 8 appearances. I'll get you the starting stats now in a second. But
it's just like Jack Byrne not playing enough. Richie Towell not playing enough.
Rory Gaffney not playing as many games as he used to.
Yeah, exactly. And probably relying on players that don't have as good an output. Like it's like Gary O'Neill. Gary O'Neill is 29 here. I think we're probably looking at the same stats.
Yeah, he hasn't played hardly at all either.
Yeah, he's only played a lot of games as well. Like it's
Jack Byrne started 2 games.
Yeah.
He's played 334 minutes this season.
Well, there you go. So like there's a lot to be said, like when you look at it like that and you're trying to understand why a team can't, you know, drive on, and where they were, you know, as we mentioned, 5 in a row. You can see the reason why they're not next or near it. The team hasn't been settled half enough this season. No real continuity, and you know, players that you were expecting big seasons from, Friuggia, for example, hasn't hit the heights that you were kind of hoping. And obviously that was due to injury. I could say, while we're looking at the same set of stats, Aaron Green has played 22 games this season. The chap is 34. Mm. I know I think he scored like 5 goals in 2 games. And you were trying to tell me that he was going to get 40 or 50 this season, the way you were going on. Well, obviously that didn't happen, as I was correct in saying to you. But do you know, it's like, How can you drive on? How you have to refresh. You have to constantly get the boys out and get new fellas in, and to keep it going, keep it fresh, give it some vibrancy, and that just hasn't happened. And I think that's part of, it's a big part of the reason why they're in the position they're in, and also just losing way too many games that they shouldn't be losing. Mm-hmm. It's just not on.
We're moving on to Sligo Rovers, because I said I wanted to touch on this man, Simon Power. I've touched on him at times on the podcast this season. When he was signed by Sligo, I pointed out that he's an exceptionally talented technical player, but he's got a very checkered injury history, and he spent a lot of time on the sidelines this season. He had a really good start to the season, and then unfortunately he was struck down with injury again, but he's back to fitness now, and hopefully, touch wood, he can stay fit. And look, he wouldn't have been at the clubs he's been at during his short career if he didn't have talent. He's got it in abundance. He just needs a bit of luck. But that would have been a huge moment for him to get 2 goals against his former club the other night.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, puts a bit of daylight from the relegation battle that they could have been drawn into. I think we were motioning towards relegation battle.
Mm.
Do you think they've kind of
enough in between them? We'll be coming to Dundalk shortly. Bad restart for them, but there's nine points between them. I still think Dundalk might be able to gather it up. I still think Sligo will be maybe looking over their shoulder as opposed to looking at the likes of St. Pat's.
Sligo are in seventh on 28 points. Waterford are in third with 6 more points.
I don't think top 3 or top 4 is a target for Sligo Rovers, personally.
Oh, Jesus, no, we're not saying that. I'm just saying it on the table.
Yeah, no. I referenced it on the recent shows. I was over the summer break. I published mid-season report cards for all 20 clubs, and I actually said Sligo, for me, had probably slightly performed better than we would have expected in the first half of the season, even though they were down around, you know, 8th or 7th or 8th at times this season. I still think you go back to the start of the season, we were talking about John Russell was going to be the man under pressure if he got off to a slow start. They had a good start, but then they had a slump. They've had challenges with injuries and small squads and all the rest. So to be where they are at this stage of the season, I do think they've probably slightly overperformed. I still think that this kind of where they are now is generally where they'll end up this season. But going into the season, I was worried about Sligo. Been dragged into a relegation dogfight, so if they can just keep their head above water all season, then I think that'll be an all right season for Sligo, and they can try and build on it next year.
Do you think they'll be able to build on it?
Well, look, it's been a great week for them to beat Shamrock Rovers, and we know what that game means to the Sligo Rovers fans in particular. And then the good news came out about Ed McGinty, that he's staying put for the rest of the season. And for me, I think that's definitely going to be enough. I think one of the reasons I've been very worried about Sligo, I thought he might go back in the summer, and like, he has kept them in so many games this season. So to keep McGinty, probably the best goalkeeper in the league, definitely up there. I think that's worth a good handful of points. And as I said, it might be the difference between them just keeping their head above water and looking at teams down below them, as opposed to getting dragged into an actual genuine dogfight. They've done a few other bits of business this week as well, but McGinty was the piece of business they needed to get done, and they did.
Yeah.
So well done to them on managing to do whatever negotiating they've done there to make that happen.
Yeah, definitely. And like with Hartman going back as well, and they lost Mata a few weeks ago, so a couple of big players for them have been lost. So yeah, it has been a real coup to keep McGinty. I'd say they might even trade in the 3 points against Shamrock Rovers to keep McGinty for the rest of the season. He's that big a player for them, and as you mentioned, he's kept them in so many games throughout the year.
And a couple of the teams below them haven't had a good start to the window in terms of players they've lost. Drogheda lost a good handful of loanees. Dundalk lost the 2 Zachs, who have been brilliant for them this season. Now, I know they've brought players in them 2 clubs in recent days, and we'll try and go through as many transfers as we can on the show tonight. But I think it's been a solid start for Sligo. Yes, losing Hartman is a blow, but we'll see what else they can do as the weeks goes on. We'll move on. Shelburne 2, Galway United 0, a perfect restart for Shells. Another 3 points, another clean sheet.
Yeah, what more can be said? I think we were in and around the 1 or 2 goals. I think the 3 of us on the predictions last week were in and around that cut. It was very kind of expected type of result. But look, I think that it's results like that, basic stuff. Not to minimise the good win for Shells, but at the same time, it's been, as you said, a really good restart and exactly what the doctor ordered for them. It's really theirs to lose at this point, isn't it?
I still don't know whether they're going to win it or not. Obviously, me and you have both said that Derry won't win it. So we're kind of in a really awkward position. We have to just go with Shells now, really, because we've written Shamrock Rovers off tonight, unless we think Waterford or Galway or Pats is going to mount a title challenge. But I just don't think they're going to lose a huge amount of games between now and the end of the season. Will they maybe start to drop points when pressure comes on late in the season? Will they struggle for goals? I don't know, but I was just going to say, like, what a week for them. They come back after the break, top of the league. They win their first game back. Another clean sheet, as I said. And then the news comes out that Harry Wood is back at Tolka Park. Like that, he could be the difference. He was a big part of the difference himself, Moylan, Jarvis last season. They were, I think, the difference between Europe and missing out on Europe and getting Wood back could be the difference between winning the title and not winning it.
Yeah, look, I think it's definitely a fair point. I think the there's definitely a lot of, like, we'll say, mental boost that they're getting. Apart from winning games, as you mentioned there, Wood coming back, Duffer signing the contract a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
There's a lot of...
We think a handy European game coming up as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And even if they get pummeled in the next one, what about it? It's the league that Shelburne really care about, and getting these other things in place, as you mentioned, Wood, Duffer last week again. These are all really good sweeteners at this time. It's a really good time to be a Shells fan.
Yeah, brilliant. Shelburne FC enjoying ourselves as they chant, and they certainly are at the moment. Go on.
What was that? How bad of a result of that? Like, would you considering the goal concessions that Galway have made this season, they've been very few. Do you think that was would you have expected a tighter game than that?
No, like
Shelburne 2-0 up after half an hour or so?
I wouldn't read too much into it. I think a lot of Galway fans have pointed out that they do need that little bit more firepower to be able to...
Yeah, they missed a penalty as well. A brutal penalty it was as well.
And then a man sent off as well, so...
Oh, that was in the last kick of the game.
Yeah.
Or Olay against his old club.
Yeah, maybe a bit overeager to prove a point, but they probably do need a little bit of cutting edge. I think I pointed out a few weeks ago, when you look at their bench, some of the players on the bench there haven't really affected games when they come on, maybe lacking that little bit of Premier Division experience. I know they let Owasharia go up north there recently, so you'd imagine they're looking to bring in some fresh faces there. And we talked about, I suppose, Rovers maybe not freshening things up enough, so it'd be important for Galway not to rest on their laurels and say, we're fifth, we're sweet here, let's just sit where we are. They need to maybe add a little bit of freshness there. It's always important in training, I think, for them new faces to come in and just add that little bit of energy around the place. So we'll see what John Caulfield can do in the window. Junior signed the other day, didn't he? He's been a bit of an interesting character in the league. He came on loan at Derry City 2018 season or so, and ended up joint top scorer in the league. Now, it was a low scoring season. I think he was joint top with 14 goals or something like that. But he was in demand after that. Obviously, he didn't renew that loan deal with Derry. He went elsewhere. He had spells at Bowes, Dundalk. I think there might be another club in there I'm forgetting. But
Sligo?
Sligo, yeah. He was never able to recreate that first season he had with Derry. There's been maybe questions about his attitude at times. John Caulfield, certainly the manager to test out his mentality, I suppose.
Yeah, definitely. He does have a lot of clubs in a very short space of time. So it's not strange, but there is a bit of a risk to it. There's no question about that. But look, hopefully it pays off, and you know they can add to the firepower issues, we'll say, that they've had this season. But I think a part of that,
he certainly adds a bit of pace to the attack. The Galway fans, as we said, have been tweeting us that Walsh needs a bit of support. It's kind of the big man, pacey man combination there, isn't it? Walsh, you can win a few flick-ons, and Junior can get in behind, then it could be a partnership made in heaven.
No, there's no question of that. I think it'll be, it'll probably need a good bit of time before it can be fully rectified, but. Or before that can bed in, I'm not sure that's going to be just.
Yeah, even I don't know how much football he's played recently, whether he needs to get up to speed or that.
But also, I think with the way the Galway play, are they going to be able to, supply him with the number of chances?
Yeah.
To put it away, I'm not 100% certain that they'll be able to do that. So I think there's a slight, it's a risk, but there's opportunity there for them to go and get some goals. So and look, that's probably the only thing that they're really missing in their game. Like, they've been so strong defensively, but just not not fantastic up front. Look,
so. It's refreshing to see JSE signing someone other than fullback. So yeah, hopefully it works out. Right, Derry City 5, Drogheda United 1. This was a very controversial game. Drogheda feel that a number of decisions went against them, most notably the disallowed goal
appeared to be
offside. I can't make sense of it. I'm sure most people have seen the clip. Obviously, the ball goes in off a Derry City defender, but the flag has actually gone up before that. And I've paused it, looked at it, rewound it, done everything I can. I can't see an offside offence. I just don't know what the linesman has seen there.
So I actually got it open just in advance of this
right
conversation. So I'm looking at it right now. There isn't one period of time when there isn't a Derry man and the keeper playing them all on. So yeah. Can't really see. But if you look at it again, I probably should have went and looked at the stream. You get to know if it's an indirect free kick by the ref having his hand in the air as it's kicked. So real kick in the stones for Drogheda, and I suppose that's the old saying that if when your things aren't going well, they continue to not go well and you don't get these chances or these decisions. That would have really changed the game. I know 5-1 is a bit of a pasting, but that would have brought it back to 2-2, and that would have really changed Drogheda's outlook on the game. Very soon after, they went 3-1 down, and I think that was that. There was wasn't really else to report on it. Derry went ahead and got the 5 goals, and was it Perot was sent off?
Yes,
as well. Not really sure.
This hasn't really happened for him there yet. Unfortunately,
it hasn't happened for him, but it hasn't happened for Drogheda. Period.
Yeah.
So like,
yeah, just on that, I don't think it's a Perot thing. Now, listeners will find it hard to believe I actually haven't got over to Weavers Park once this season to watch them live, but I have watched a few of their games, and he has missed some absolute sitters, which hasn't helped his cause, I suppose. You need to hit a ground running as a striker when you go to a new club, but I do think if he was in a better team, and it's probably a bit of a redundant thing to say, but I do think he's probably got the quality, if he had more service, that he would have a greater output. But that they're just in a bit of a rut at the moment, and kind of a lot of focus is on him as this big marquee striker that came in. He hasn't got the goals maybe that the people expected, but they've been a mess at the back at times as well, which is very unlike Drogheda.
I was literally about to say that. If you look back and see Derry's fourth goal, a cross in from the left, over the defenders, back down, headed back down, and there's a lad there to tap it in. I think it was Hooban there. What? Like, no one laid a glove on anybody in that whole process. A lot of standing around, looking, watching the ball go over their head, watch it come back, and watch it being banged in right by them. Extremely poor defending, and that's obviously a huge concern. But like, as we're saying about the top end of the table and the title race, we're also saying the same thing at the bottom. You're running out of games.
I think mentally as well, like 5-1, first game back after the restart when you're already bottom, I think that could be very damaging. You're looking at some of the players heading out the door now. I will talk about some of the players that's come in a second, but
Evan Weir gone,
yeah. The Gallagher and Can gone to Dundalk. Not Gallagher and Can. Can's gone to Dundalk, but Gallagher's gone back to England. I think I'm missing someone else there as well. Fuelo and he's gone back, but I suppose the only silver lining for them was the fact that Dundalk were beaten at home. So it's still just a 3-point gap, and Dundalk have a lot of moving and shaking going on as well in terms of players leaving and players coming in. So
yeah,
it might be a bit of a period where maybe both of those teams aren't picking up points, and Drogheda just have to, we spoke about UCD before, hanging into games. Drogheda just have to hang into this season and just stay on the coattails of Dundalk and hope that come the end of the season, they're still in a position where they can get themselves into that ninth place.
What do you think, Erdogan?
I'm going to hold fire on the relegation thing for a couple of weeks, because as I said, I've made the statement on this podcast that Dundalk will be fine, they'll pull away, but there is a lot of change going on. John Daly's talking about, I think, bringing in 6-7 players maybe. That's a lot of bodies to try and bed in a short period of time at a crucial stage of the season. And I suppose Kevin Doherty's probably going to have to do something similar as well. I will just talk about some of the signings that have come in at Drogheda. Shane Farrell, I know he's hit the headlines at times this season for his relationship with Damien Duff, but I think that's an excellent sign. I think that's exactly what Drogheda need, a real energetic player like Shane Farrell.
Yeah, I think he'd be able to set the tone for Drogheda, you know, pull them out of... He's certainly a great player that might be able to get them out of the rut that they're in, as you mentioned earlier. Like
you look at the team that played against Derry the other day. Matthew O'Brien was in midfield. We know him well from Longford. He's a good player on the ball, but again, this is a draw to the team in games like this that aren't going to see a lot of the ball. Ryan Brennan is still in there, obviously getting on in age now. I think they're maybe missing a little bit of legs in the middle. They were without Markey the other day, who's always a huge loss, but probably haven't got, and without Deegan as well, but again, getting towards the advancing stages of his career. Farrell will give them legs.
Oh, he certainly will. No, there's no question about that. I wouldn't have any concern about that and what he can bring to the table. It's just, is there going to be anyone else around him that can support him doing that?
Well, as I said, there is players to come back from injury. Deegan and Markey, like himself and Markey, could definitely strike up a bit of partnership, but they need more bodies in there as well, because I'm just looking at the bench from the other day.
They need human beings, yes.
Yeah, there's so many young players that, no offense, I've not heard of on that bench. And then there's players like David Webster, who, great lad to have around the place, but his injury record over the last couple of years doesn't make good reading. So, they are in trouble at the minute squad-wise, but the fact that they've been able to get Farrell in, I think that's encouraging that they are going out there and trying to make things happen. I think Farrell is a really good signing for them.
There's no question about that, but they're at the bottom of the table. It's time to go and do it. There's no time. You can't be like that. Like, and the lads know that. They have to go and get players now. There's no encouragement. There's no moral victories getting players in now at this point.
Yeah. We'll move on to their neighbours. Dundalk beaten 2-0 by Waterford. Waterford's fantastic season continues. They've got to be looked at now as genuine contenders for a top four finish.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt. And, you know, I have to take my hat off to Keith Long and the job he has done. There was, we've said it a few times, the crying that was being done by Waterford fans, and, you know, not too long ago, saying that, you know, their season was this and that and the other. Yeah. And look how the state it's in now. It's
a very healthy
wonderful. What more could you ask for? You know, at that top part of the table, and deservedly so in there. Do you know what I mean? They've won had some fantastic results this season. This is just another one. Not a fantastic one. I think I said that they'd win 1 or 2-0 last week, and I was right again. They fully deserving of this victory as well, I think.
I said there that they have to be talked about as genuine contenders for a top four finish. They're actually third in the table now with both.
That's what I mean, yeah.
Is that a legitimate target?
Why not? They've proven over a good chunk of the season, 23-4 games that they've played this season so far. And they've proven that they can compete, they can win games, they can, you know, dig it out as they need to. So I wouldn't have any issue with them being in the position that they're in. They're fully deserving of it. I know lots of lads crying about coverage and stuff like that, but I think that, as has been said elsewhere and as we've experienced before, it's up to Waterford to dig themselves out of that hole. But yeah, took a great season so far. To be promoted and be in a European position is sensational. So hopefully they can keep it going and see where they end up this season.
Pats nil, Bows nil. It doesn't sound exciting, but this was actually quite an end-to-end game. I think most people that were at it were surprised we didn't get some goals on the night.
Yeah, I suppose it's kind of the same. But even I could say, apart from it being a good game, would you say it's just an indictment of where both teams are? Like there's a lot of... I know probably the best part of the whole game was that save from the Bows keeper. I won't try and pronounce his name. But there was a lot of chances. But
I think I saw on Thursday whenever, or Friday, whenever this game was on, that each team had a bag of chances and can't hit the target.
Mm.
Like, yeah. I'd say, you know, that was probably one of a handful of saves that had to be made from either keeper throughout the game, the one from the post keeper.
Yeah, we're going to hear from him very shortly, but he played for both clubs, of course. Now, he had better success at both than he did at Pascal Georgie Kelly. If he was on that pitch the other night, I think he would have filled his boots.
Yeah, he would have filled his boots, but you know, and we can all, you know, lament that Georgie Kelly isn't in the league anymore, but we can also look at what we have, and the, you know, the conversion is just deplorable. Particularly, obviously, in this game, it's crystallised in front of us right now, but like, we were talking a few weeks ago, we'll say, about Rory Keating not having a great season, but how could he possibly have a good season if you know, he's not... I know it's like some of the chances that were created weren't great, but like the waste in the team needs to be eradicated. And I know it's going to take time for Stephen Kenny as well, but surely these chances have to be converted. I can't remember who it was. Was this? Is it Levy or Leahy in midfield?
Levy, yeah.
Yeah, like I think he skied it over from 6 yards out and he had a couple of touches at it.
Mm.
You know, that's just unforgivable stuff. Like, there's no, oh, geez, that was a tough chance or anything like that. He was under pressure. But Jesus Christ, you have to get it on target. You know, and it's the story of this game, but it's also probably the story of a lot of games for these two sides this season.
Yeah, it's interesting. Bulls have brought in a couple of, a defender and a midfielder this week, but they really...
Are they Estonian?
They're not, believe it or not. They've brought in Archie Meekison from Scotland, from Dundee United. He played 12 games in the Scottish Championship last season, but he's played a little bit of Premiership over there and a few games in Europe. And they've brought in a defender, a young defender from Brighton, who's played very little senior first team football. But it's interesting that they're focusing on them positions, because it was Akintunde that led the line for them the other night. He's not really a natural goal scorer. I think they've let go one of the Estonian strikers during the window as well. So you'd imagine that's next on the agenda there for Rennie and Fenland and whoever makes the sign, is they have to get a goal scorer in there.
Well, they really do. Like they're hard got though.
Mm.
Like I don't know where what market they're going to be shopping in. Like, we'll say they tried the old Estonian route. They should have just rang Sligo to find out how that went for them. You know, we hear international this and that and the other, and you know, I don't have any of them made it. Well, the striker will say, was it Steen Korf or something like that? I think he scored a goal in one of his early games, and then we never really heard from him again. So I think if that was a method or a way of going to try and dig out players, that doesn't work. So where did they go now? It's going to be very hard for them to find, you know, a player that can get 10 goals, 15 goals this season.
Maybe Georgie Kelly will come back. We'll find out very shortly when we speak to him. But just on Pat, Stephen Kenny is, we talked about it last week, slowly putting the pieces into place, isn't he? He's putting his own stamp on things there. He's brought in the goalkeeper, as we mentioned, from West Ham and Nang, and he's pinched the fullback Alameen Kazim from Galway. Now, he was a Colchester player, but his loan deal expired. He went back to Colchester, but his contract was up there. Galway had offered him a contract. He said, no, I'm going to move on elsewhere. We all thought that meant, fair enough, he's going to look for opportunities in the UK. Next thing, he pops up on St. Pat's Twitter feed holding the jersey with Stephen Kenny. I've seen a bit of him this season. He's very, very pacey. We know that Anto Breslin's had to hold the fort on his own for the entire season. He's pretty much the only left back at the club. Yeah. Stoybjerg's done well since he's come back from injury at right back. So it looks like Kenny's probably happy with his full back options now. He's got his goalkeeper in. I just wonder, you talked about Bowes there needing a goal scorer. What does he do with Rory Keating? Does he back him or does he try and bring someone else in?
Well, I think he has to back him. I think that's the only way to go. Like, they have Keane Kavanagh. Like, they've missed Amelia.
Sorry, Keane Kavanagh's not good enough.
No, he's not. No, we know that. But
that was a strange signing from day one.
Yeah, never made a lick of sense. Rory Keating, it hasn't really worked for him. I think the other issue is, and I was saying this to someone in advance of the Town game there on Friday, Keating is 28. There seems like, in my mind, when I think of Keating, that there's like 4 years missing on his like history of playing football. Like, I think of him as like 24, 25, and you still think that, you know, there's something that can be, you know, we can get a player out of this, but I don't think he's up to it, really.
The other option is just throw Mason Mealy up there and let him out.
But Mason Mealy is very good. And he's 16. I don't see why. I think.
Can you play a 16-year-old week in, week out, though?
Jeez, he's a big unit.
Mm.
He's not afraid of it either. And then in some of the games that I've seen him in, I was at the Pat's Shells game, which Shells won it in the last few moments. He was sensational. He came on, drove forward, put Shells under a lot of pressure, won the free kick that. What's your man's name? Oh, I can't think of your man's name. The rocket of a free kick that he scored to bring that game to 1-1.
Mulroney.
Mulroney, thank you very much. I see far more output from him in the few games that I've seen the past this season than I have from Keating at all. And one of my big complaints was that Keating was, you look up the pitch and, you know, because at that game in particular, Breslin was hammered for playing poorly, but he didn't have an out in a lot of cases when Rory Keating was supposed to be the out option for him. Rory Keating wasn't there. So, yeah. I just think that needs to be looked at. I think Stephen Kenny will probably try and do a bit of business towards the top end of the pitch in the next few weeks.
Yeah, well, as I said, will Georgie Kelly be on anyone's radar for maybe a League of Ireland return in the coming weeks? We're going to speak to Georgie Kelly now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Now, I'm delighted to say we're going to catch up with Georgie Kelly on this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Georgie, great to see you. The last time we spoke to you, you were a Rotherham player, but you're now with Carlisle. How are you finding life in that part of England?
Cheers, Kim, for having me on. Grand, nice little spot up here, right up the top of England. Time flies, God. Looking forward now to in the height of pre-season here, so looking forward to getting going.
I suppose Carlisle probably first come on the radar to League of Ireland people, 20, 25 years ago when Roddy Collins was in charge there. Is there any lasting legacy from Roddy's time there?
I wasn't long in the door when there's just a couple of old fellas who've been about years. And the first thing they said was, "Did you ever come across Roddy? Do you know Roddy?" And then they're filling me in on some of the stories, like, some crack. But there's not much memorabilia or pictures or anything of Roddy on the wall. Just that's all.
That's a shame. I suppose it was a difficult end to the season for you over there. You moved to Carlisle. It was a chance for you to get more regular first team football, but then you picked up an injury and they ended up getting relegated. So a difficult little time in your career.
Yeah. Listen, it wasn't ideal. I was only in the door, and I picked up an issue. It's never nice. You always like to start kind of make a good first impression, but what can you do? That's life. But to be honest, when I signed, it was kind of the writing was on the wall. I signed knowing that they'll probably be going down. It wasn't a huge major shock or disappointment to me. I signed there before I agreed to go there. Like my decisions on who to sign for have been reasonably good. Like over the years, I've picked decent moves. They're fairly well calculated. Like it's not just random decisions. I actually met with the owners and spoke in depthly with new American owners who just came in around the same time I was there. And they seem like real, real smart, intelligent guys who know what they're at and have big plans. Recently pumped a lot, new training grounds started to be built, stadiums been upgraded, but they just seem well clued in. And I feel like what I've seen over the years with clubs is owners can make or break a club depending on their influence and how they see the project. At the end of the day, your owners are the ones deciding who the gaffer is, deciding that they're where the buck stops. So I feel like that's a really important heuristic to go off when deciding where to sign and stuff. So that was the main draw for me there in that sense. It seems like a club with good people leading it, and that's kind of half the battle, really, is what I've figured out. So hopefully over the next, like, I've signed a long-term deal. I'm here for another 3 years. So the plan will be, hopefully to progress up, and then once we do get back to League One, be really strong, competitive, like, you know. So
I'm not surprised to hear that you were calculated in making the decision to move there. I think we spoke to you before about your educational journey alongside football, and I was reading today about the boot manufacturer that you're involved with. Can you tell us a bit more about that, these environmentally friendly football boots?
Yeah, so Kido is the name of the brand. It's an English guy who I met a couple of years ago, just through friends of friends and on LinkedIn and stuff. Yeah, really cool company, really. He's just a young guy. I was kind of going off instinct with him. He's Jake's his name's a real smart, intelligent guy who felt like there was a gap in area in the market for a real sustainable, eco-friendly boot made out of old recycled boots, sustainable, ethical, different bits of leather and stuff. So, I got on board and became an investor early on in them. And since then, they've been flying. They've been absolutely thriving. They have a new boot coming out. You'll probably see bits and pieces now over the next couple of months. But obviously, the first prototype was the original first boot. Obviously, it wasn't great in terms of like spec and detail, but that was kind of just to pave the way to raise a little bit more capital to try and design the boot now that he really wanted to initially design. And God, this new boot is coming out really cool. Like, I think it'll be out in the next month or 6 weeks. I've tried on a couple of prototypes, but I've seen a couple of bits and pieces. Really, really nice boot. But basically, the idea, people kind of like, oh, eco-friendly, no one cares, like, blah, blah, blah. But that the football boot market is a huge market globally. I don't know if it's like $100 or $150 billion market globally. And the idea of that company was to target maybe 1.5 to 2% of the global market in terms of people who really actually, lads playing five-a-side, people around the world who actually care about. And there is a lot of people, you'd be surprised, that do kind of care about the impact that they're leaving on the environment. Like, and if you can target a little corner of that boot market, you're not trying to compete with Nike or Adidas or anyone. Like, you're just literally trying to scrape a couple of percent, and then that company could thrive, like, and be incredibly successful. So that was the philosophy and the idea behind it. And then I just felt like, yeah, the founder was a really kind of aggressive, intelligent, smart guy who I felt like, yeah, he'll get it done. And he has, like, he's been all over the world finding different manufacturers and boots and different bits and pieces. But really cool now, and hopefully I'll be able to wear them now, the new boot this year. So it'll be nice. Yeah.
The environmental officer at Bose will be very proud of you. Sounds like they left a little mark on you.
Sean McCabe, yeah, they're still doing unreal stuff for that club, like, that people probably don't really see day to day. So yeah, Sean's a great fella, yeah.
Have you been following Bose and the league in general since you left?
Oh, geez, I wouldn't every week, every Friday night. I'll be watching Thursday night this week. I'll be watching someone. Yeah, I do. When you have loads of mates and lads playing, I feel like it's more interesting to watch League of Ireland games when you have a bit more understand the story better than Premier League or even them European games there. So no, I wouldn't miss it. Yeah, so I'd keep well up to date. I was home during the summer. Me and Greg Slago went to a few different games. But yeah, no, it's I keep up to date with it. Yeah, great to see, obviously, Mark, always a good mate of mine over the years. So it's great to see Shells flying and him going well. Like,
can they go all the way?
I don't know. I would hope so. Kind of just for Mark as well, because he deserves to lift the trophy. But it's still very difficult. Like, when you're obviously they're massively outperforming expectations, like, in terms of squads, budget, players, like. And so far they've managed really well with injuries. I feel like last year spells injuries probably cost them dearly, kind of at times. Their squad depth seems a bit better this year, but again, if you have three, four injuries now in this last run, and that can really kill a team like that, who's kind of overachieving. Whereas a team like Rovers, a few injuries, Shamrock, like, doesn't hinder them at all, really. But I think if they can stay fit, they could do it. Like, obviously, Derry Derry are right, still right there with them. I felt like Derry haven't really kicked into top gear yet, like this year. It was so. If they do hit a bit of form now and start turning teams over, then they'll. I actually don't know in the bookies. You probably know, but is Derry or Shells favorite at the moment?
I think it's Shells. I actually haven't looked. Yeah, I think it's Shells though.
Right. If I was, I would say there's probably not much in it, like, no. Because it's Derry firepower, like, but it'll be an intriguing kind of end of the year. I know, like.
You mentioned yourself and Greg Sloggett were a few games. I'm not sure if you're aware. That kind of sparked a lot of rumours. I think people put two and two together and got 25. They obviously saw that you had just been relegated to League Two and they thought, oh, Georgie Kelly's coming home. Was there any prospect of that ever happening?
Oh, no. That's not. I didn't even hear them rumours. So that's a good thing. But no, as I said, I signed a long-term deal here. I have 3 years left and I imagine I'll be here for the 3 years at least before heading home. Like, yeah.
I know you're obviously not one that's going to rest on your laurels, but to have a 3 year deal, it does give you that bit of security that maybe in the league here you wouldn't have it. I know things have progressed in the last few years where the stronger players in the league are getting these multi term contracts as they've been called now. But generally, there's a lot of movement within the league. You're not really sure where you're going to be one season to the next. But you've got a three-year deal there now in the UK. And as you said, if you can perform well and maybe move up a league or two, then who knows what you can achieve over there. It's nice to have that bit of security.
It is, yeah. And obviously, like, players are different depending on just their general circumstances and stuff. But I always kind of like that. But, like, I'd rather I signed a 3.5-year deal as well. Like, I always like that little bit of security. Knowing where I'm going to be so I can settle into it and get the rhythm of the club and people and things. It just kind of suits my personality a little bit better. Whereas a lot of lads or older lads wouldn't want to sign long-term deals that they're trying to either push or get away or don't want to be tied down too long or maybe don't want to live in a certain place for, you know what I mean? There's loads of different little factors, but I'm that. No, I'm delighted to get tied down to a nice long-term deal and get settled in. And I just bought a house over here. So, like to get kind of in, like within living in the city in the area, getting people and just feel the whole vibe of the club, like something I kind of like always like to do. Yeah.
Is there any other Irish lads at Carlisle?
God, I know Shawnee just left Maguire, and JJ Keogh was actually here for a bit last year as well with me. But I think are they all gone now? I think they might be all just myself left. Yeah, so
just you.
That quick on my feet here, there could be someone else, but I think it's just me.
You had a little taste of Europe, I suppose, during your time at Dundalk. Got the European games coming up now in the next few weeks. It looks like some decent draws in the first round for the likes of Shells and Derry look to have good ties against the Gibraltar club. It might be more difficult for Pats and Rovers. How do you think they'll get on?
Yeah, I seen the draws there, yeah. Again, Shells, like, do Shells need a European run? Probably not. I don't know. It's a tough one now. This is where things get difficult. Like, Rovers are probably desperate now for a real good European run. It's probably been a few years in the making. And again, yeah, tough enough draw for Pats. But again, they're probably out of the hunt for fourth for Europe this year? They would probably like a run. It's a lot to play for, and probably similar with Derry. I know they had a couple of good results last year. Was that last year? But anyway, they, I'm sure Higgins and them lads would fancy themselves to go on like that little spell that we have with Bowes.
Sorry, I mentioned there your time at the door, but Bowes, you scored four goals in Europe. I know Bowes fans still talk about that summer, and I suppose it was during COVID as well, so they were getting that bit of going to the Aviva, and there was only 8,000 or 10,000 there. It was a very unique experience, and the atmosphere, it was almost as if the place was full. But for you as a player, was that the most enjoyable spell of your League of Ireland career?
I would say so. Them few weeks, them 6 weeks, like we won three European games on the bounce there, which I don't know if many other League of Ireland clubs have done over the years. Like, we were two up against Pauk at home, and I'd say if we had held that out, we could have got a result away from home, but. That was a serious one, and we were peaking around then. That Bowes side, everyone was kind of, everything was fit, everyone was coming together. God, yeah. So that was a great little run, yeah, with Keith and Trevor. Really was. Again, it's probably just a pity that you couldn't have more fans in, because you probably could have got 25k into the Aviva there for them games. it would have been lovely. But yeah, that was a real special run. Like my first real kind of taste. I know with Dundalk, I got a few appearances here and there, but that was my first real kind of like grasp of Europe and the games and the competitiveness and traveling and coming home and playing. So it was difficult, and I don't know, many people probably don't remember, but our league form dipped massively around them times. We struggled, we were picking up results. So that's the other side of it, like. And it'll be interesting. This period now in the next 6 weeks will probably decide the league. Well, we'll anyway, but it'll really show you if where clubs are at kind of now in terms of trying to balance squads and different bits. But it'll make it interesting, like.
In terms of playing over in England, is that the one thing you miss most about the league? Is you know, that European opportunity?
Yeah, well, I also just miss fucking. I miss being near family, misses and stuff. So that's that. You do miss that, but in terms of the league, yeah, you also miss at times. I feel like I know the crowds are a little bit smaller, but the atmospheres and stuff and the rivalries and the. I would miss that as well, like in the buzz around Bowes. Like Bowes, fantastic club in my time there. Like I know different spells, and I've over here been more involved in relegation battles than anything else. And the crowds and the fans can be a little bit more like nervy, and you know, compared to my memory of Ireland is just flares and noise and different good nights in Dalymount. Like so. But you do miss it. You do just miss being home and being around the league in general. Like,
yeah, you said your missus isn't over with you, no?
No, she's based in Belfast there, so not able to come over, which is difficult. Most difficult.
How tough do you find that?
Yeah, it's tough. That's the one thing that, again, people don't really see all these other little aspects of being away in England. Like that is a tough factor, to be honest. But you just get on with it and deal with it. As I said, I've 3 years now, and I imagine potentially I'll be, well, depending on how things go, I'll probably be heading back to Ireland after that, like, no matter how things are going. But yeah, that's one of the things that isn't easy, no.
Now you've got 3 years to get in the Premier League, loads of time.
Be grand.
are you still, you're wrapped up college-wise now, or?
Yeah, finished up that Masters now. It's just I wanted to go on and do anything else. But I don't think I will take a bit of a break for a few years. I actually might dip in and start a little role with that football brand company as well, Keto, if things work out in terms of timing and stuff. So that'd be nice just to kind of keep things ticking over. But otherwise, try and just kind of focus now, zone in on these next few years.
Yeah, no, because it's just going to say in terms of, you talked about maybe the more difficult side there of being a professional footballer over in the UK. You're away from family, and I just wonder how you occupy your we're talking here in mid-afternoon, so I'd imagine you've got the training done for the day. How do you fill the rest of the day then?
Yeah, that's, and I feel like now maybe days are longer, or maybe, I don't know, or as in training days, but I find that you don't actually have that much time. Depending on how hard training sessions is in gym, in terms of recovery, if you're in season, I would kind of try and come home and if I could nap and sleep for a bit. Next thing, it's 5 o'clock and you're trying to make food, and then you're going to bed early. Like, so there's not much sitting around and lying about, to be honest.
I love a good afternoon nap, I have to say. Yeah. I haven't done a few laps of the pitch like you, though, so I don't think I'm getting the same results, maybe.
But yeah, so that's... And it's actually kind of nice, just, you know, whereas previously, even my first year at Rotherham, I was coming home and straight to the laptop and flat out until 8, 9, 10 o'clock. Like, so it's kind of nice just to give your body a break. And as I said, these next few years, I want to go all in, like, here and see where I can get this, see how I can perform. So it's nice to kind of have that wrapped up. Like,
and you're in the middle of pre-season at the moment. Is pre-season very different in the UK to Ireland in terms of the approach, or is it much the same? Is it just a lot of running?
I think it's much the same. Well, to be honest, it probably depends on your club and where you're at here. Between Rotherham to here, there's a reasonable big difference. Clubs can either go more running approach, just no balls for the first few weeks, or... Like here, we're straight into ball work, and they're trying to build fitness through drills that are similar to more similar to or football specific kind of drills rather than just like as run laps or doggies or whatever. But it's just all opinions. But in general, there's not much difference. The S&Cs, that's one thing I noticed. The S&Cs and the medical kind of teams back home are all very, very good, like in comparison to the UK. So they're well up to date with like what's needed and distances and training and load and stuff. So there's not much difference, no.
I'm actually showing my ignorance here on the EFL a little bit. Who's the gaffer there at Carlisle?
It's Paul Simpson. Paul Simpson's here at the minute.
What's he like to work with?
Yeah, very good, yeah. He's kind of like a club legend, been around years ago. Saved them from promotion, I think, years ago. And then they brought him back and he got us promoted there not that long ago, the year before last. But yeah, no, real, real good kind of gaffer, knows the game well, like, and then there's good staff around him. So yeah, hopefully now we'll push on, have a good year, like.
Very good. Well, look, there'll be no better way to advertise those boots than scoring a few goals early on in the season. So
that's the plan, yeah.
Georgie, great catching up with you. Best luck for the season over there, and look after yourself.
Cheers, Kieran. All the best.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Yeah, so there you have it. Georgie Kelly won't be returning to the league this summer, but maybe 2 or 3 years down the line, he might be by the sounds of things. But we certainly miss him in the league, Gary. Great, great lad, I have to say. One of the nicest guys you'll come across in football. And he's certainly got his head screwed on when it comes to business and the like as well. So hopefully he'll have a big season in England.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think did you say he has a long contract?
Yeah, 3 years.
Yeah, so look, hopefully it'll all go well for him and he can, play out the last little while in the League of Ireland, scoring a few goals would be very nice to see.
Yeah, it sounds like he's really struck up an affinity with Bohs. So I think Bohs will be first on the list maybe when he does.
And they love signing players back.
Returns, well, yeah.
Yeah, so, and even if it, no matter how bad they were when they, or how bad of a time they had when they left Bohs, Bohs will still welcome them back, give them huge contracts, so. Even if it doesn't work out for Georgie, which I doubt it will, I think it will work out for him. He has that mentality. Bohs will welcome him back with open arms, even if he doesn't score a goal in the next 3 years.
We'll move on to the first division and Athlone Town restarting their season with a 1-0 win at home to Treaty. It could have been a lot more than one, though.
Yeah, it could have been. Dean Ebbe got the only goal of the game, but
top scorer in the division now, I think.
Oh, is he? Yeah. Good signing for Athlone.
And they made a good loan extension.
They did
as well. Tete, who's caught the eye a few times.
When
I watched that loan this season, he's staying on there. So that's a good piece of business from them. He's on loan from Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He had a really good start for opening half of the season, really good bit of business for them to keep him. So, I think Athlone probably safe enough in the playoffs for another season, which is good for them. They were kind of pricking around there for a good while at not really much. So, to get two seasons in the playoffs is a great success, and I think they'll hold on to that comfortably.
Kerry won, Wexford won. I think we both might have predicted Kerry wins here last week, but
yeah.
A point is all they got in the end. Kerry had a man sent off as well. I don't like to use the word dirty, but they're certainly one of the more physical teams I've come across in the league, and not only this season, but in their maiden season last year as well. They were nasty enough to come up against at times.
Yeah, there's this type of, I don't know what we want to call it, edge, let's say.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe
there's an edge and there's peering over the edge as well. I think there's an element of that at times.
Yeah, there is. It's not great. But look, I think that, you know, that's part of it. You need a bit of hardiness in you, but I think it's probably not ideal. But
And I think, you know, I'm not sure if it's costing that much, but at the same time, you'd really rather that they weren't at that crack.
Yeah.
But look, I think even on this game, it was a really good win or a good point at the end of it. Probably the last kick of the game that they managed to dig that point out. Another
late goal conceded.
Yeah. Like it's bad. By Wexford. I know they've managed to get Louis Temple in on loan from Shells, which is
I think that'll go a long way to solving the defensive issues down there. We seen him close hand last year. He's top class, and we even had a few Shells fans tweeting us in when we put up the news that he had gone on loan to Wexford. And they said they were actually very surprised he didn't get more opportunities at Shelburne this season. It's very hard when you've got people like Paddy Barrett and obviously Gavin Malloy previously in front of you. But he's very highly regarded at Shells. We know that. So I think that's a really, really good piece of business from James Kelly.
Yeah, there's no question about that. But it's something that like they really need to get it together. I think it's, it's just not great. Like I don't know how they manage to, you know, first half of the season. Like, are they going to go on a run, do you think, and dig it out of the fire?
I don't know, but what I do know is that he will surely help defensively.
He can't hurt. Like, some of the goals that they've conceded this season has been just extremely poor. And just while I did a bit of googling there, when we mentioned Kerry and their yellow card situation, they've the most yellow cards in the division.
Yeah, they're second bottom of the Fair Play League.
Yes. and Treaty, based on their four red cards, are 10th. Longford Town are holding their own in 8th.
Better than the real league table, I suppose.
Yeah, this is obviously an inverted table.
61 points in the Fair Play League. If only we had 61 points in real life.
Yeah, Bray are actually top. Just we're off on this tangent. Bray have only the one red card, but also the fewest number of yellow cards. So
maybe that's why Ian Ryan was looking for men.
Well, there you go. He wasn't happy. He wanted to be down the table on that one. But, yeah. I think there is a bit of hardiness brought into the Kerry side, which was
remember
required.
UCD got into Europe through the Fair Play League one year.
Yes, they did, and they got through a round of it as well.
That was amazing.
That was fantastic. A team in the first division.
I think there was a book written about that. Fairly certain there was. Could be called Night in Dudelange or something like that.
Yeah, you don't have it.
No, must get a copy of it somewhere. But yeah, great time. Was it Swan? Ryan Swan got the goals.
Ryan Swan, yeah. Then he went up north. I think he had a real bad injury.
Yeah, he did. And he was a class little player.
He was. He was a very tasty little player. But it's...
Another point on the board for Kerry. That's 19 now. So one more and they'll double their tally for the entirety of last season, which is remarkable. Cork City, perfect restart for them. 1-0 winners against Bray. You mocked me last week when I said Bray had scored two goals down in Turner's Cross. You were right to laugh at me in hindsight.
Yeah. I don't know what I said in the predictions. I either said 1 or 2-0 Cork, but yeah, there was no way. I think you said 3-2 Cork or something like that. Yeah, nonsense. Deservedly at the bottom of the predictions table, lad. it's another good win for Cork to keep motoring on the way to the title. Don't think it's going to go anywhere else. Well, it's not, like, it's just a fact.
Yeah, and Evan McLaughlin got the goal, but we must say congrats to an old pal of the show. He's made a lot of appearances on this show. He's probably made nearly as many appearances on this show as clubs he's had in the league. Jack Doherty, a new child in the house, which is great to see. So congratulations to Jack and his partner.
Absolutely, yeah, great news.
Cove 2, UCD 2, this was entertaining.
It was, yeah. Some nice goals scored in this one as well. Cove would be kicking themselves to go ahead twice and then still come out with just a point. Probably a bit of a regular, or not, maybe not a regular, but a not incomplete, or not a, irregular. Sorry, I'm losing my words. It's very late.
This is worse than the US presidential debate the other night.
Well, what's my excuse?
Yeah,
bollocks is all I am. But look, it's probably something that they've seen a bit too often this season, like being in good positions and throwing away points. It probably will cost them getting into the, or even with a real shout of getting into the playoffs. So I don't think it's going to happen for them, really.
And finally, on the first division front, Longford Town 1, Finn Harps 1. And I obviously commentate on all the Town games on LOI TV, and I have to say there's been some really, really boring games this year where I've just wanted to like scream down the microphone. But I actually really enjoyed this game. This was a good, entertaining game of football. Lots of goal mouth activity, particularly in the first half. But I think the general feeling afterwards was draw probably a fair result, but that Finn Harps would be kicking themselves that they weren't more efficient in front of goals. There was a couple of opportunities to kill the game off and go 2-0 up. Didn't take it, and Longford Town punished them.
Yeah, not too often would you hear that statement this season, Longford Town punishing anybody. I think there's two things to be said about Harps' chances. Jack Brady was sensational.
Yeah.
To be fair to him, he was had a really, really strong game. And made a lot of good saves. But success also helped Jack Brady out by absolutely hammering everything that went near him.
Yeah, could have had a hat-trick.
Yeah, but he just rifled it straight into Jack.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not taking away from Jack at all. Like, he did make some very good saves throughout the game and kept Longford Town in it. Like, when you look across the season, Longford Town don't have very many points, but Jack Brady is responsible for a good handful of them. Success needs to be way better at finishing. Like, he could be the top scorer in the division this season with some of the chances that he has missed up to now. So he'll be disappointed with that. But I think, on the other hand, and I'm not sure, I don't think you'd agree, I think there was 3 points there for Longford Town.
I don't agree.
Yeah, well, you're an idiot. Like, as the game went on, I thought Longford Town were very comfortable in it. They did create some chances.
Had well a goal ruled out for offside as well. Even the Harps manager, Darren Murphy, said to me after the game, he's not sure if it was offside. He didn't think it was. So
yeah. I must say, though, like I would say, the refs, again, brutal.
Yeah.
And I know we often talk about this, because, well, this is a game that we're guaranteed to be at most weeks, so it's easier for us to talk more about it, but I don't know what the refs are do be at. Like, it's, I don't know what games they're watching, and you know, I try to, even though I do hammer them when at any available opportunity, like, unfortunately just some of the time it's just required very poor performance again from the refereeing team on Friday.
Yeah, so look, me and Gary probably have slightly different views on that game, but the view that we share was it was a good game. It was a good game. And one player that came off the bench for Finn Harps, a very young player, he's only a teenager, Gavin McAteer, he caught the eye. He created a couple of chances late on for Finn Harps, and if Harps, their finishing had just been a bit sharper, then they might have come away with the 3 points. But I spoke to Harps manager Darren Murphy after the game, and he highlighted Gavin McAteer. He had a bit to say on him. It sounds like he's very, very excited about the future of this young player. So going to play out a little mini clip of that audio with Darren. If you want to hear the full interview, then head to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI/membership. Join our members club, and you can get access to exclusive content like this throughout the season, including my weekly Friday League of Ireland column. So well worth checking it out. But here's what Darren Murphy had to say about this young man.
We didn't take them. They pushed. They got their goal. Then they had a goal disallowed. And then we make a wee change in our formation, and we bring on a very talented young boy who creates three fantastic opportunities for us, and we don't take any of them.
That's young McAteer. What can you tell us about him for listeners that maybe hasn't registered on the radar yet? I was very impressed with him on commentary, I have to say.
He's a very special boy with a lot of talent, and we have to remember that he's only 15. So
Local lad,
yep. I'm very fortunate that, you know, I worked in the Irish Football Association for a long time with the best young players in Northern Ireland, so I know how to handle a special talent, and it's about it's a, it's a matter of putting them in and out at the right time and picking the right games for him. And I thought this evening would be the right game because I knew it would be a football game. It wouldn't be the physical aspect of it. And again, he showed all his quality. As you say, in the final 15 minutes, he creates three unbelievable opportunities for us. And we don't take them. And I preach to the players all the time. I preach to the players, the game's about 2 18-yard box, how you defend one and how you attack the other. We attacked the Longford 18-yard box very well this evening, but we just weren't ruthless in front of goal.
Right, Gary, let's move into the Between the Stripes LOI podcast predictions league. Before we do that, an update on the league table. So last week, we were joined by a Shells fan, Dwayne Doyle. He played on behalf of the listeners. He did okay. He picked up 7 points, the same amount as me. You were the top player last week with 8 points. So the league table is as follows. I'm still bottom on 74 points. You're second on 79 points. The listener's still out in front on 86 points, but it's a good old title race this season in the podcast league, which we haven't had too often down the years. Right, we'll go to this week. And again, it is a Shells fan that's playing. It's Al Ty, a regular listener to the show. And fair play to Al. He wasn't asked. He just sent me a DM today. He said, just on the off chance you haven't got anyone, here's my predictions. And I had actually totally forgotten to ask anyone this week. So only for Al. We'd be a spot of bother. So well done to him. So we'll go with him first for Treaty against Cove. And he is going for a scoreless draw on this one.
That's a good shout, actually. I do like that. Although I was kind of moderately impressed with the goals scored by Cove.
I think Cove have a bit more about them, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw, though.
I'm going to go 1-1. Okay, I'm going to go 1-0 to Cove. Bray against Longford will be at this on Thursday night. A reminder, these games are all Thursday night this week due to the Euros.
Yeah, another scam.
That's good because it means tomorrow, Wednesday, is the only day we have no football. Thursday, League of Ireland, Friday, Euros quarterfinal start. So it's great.
Yeah. And those games on Friday, they're on at 8. Is it four? It's 4 days of quarterfinals, is it, or 2 days?
Yeah, 4 days, I think.
Okay. Well, that's nice.
No, 5 and 8, I think, isn't it? Yeah, Germany, Spain, Germany's 5, and then Portugal, France is 8 o'clock, I think. Yeah,
crack. Okay, so then there's 2 days of quarterfinals.
Oh, sorry, 2 days, yes, excuse me.
Jesus Christ, we'd never get away from football if you were planning it.
Love Island's on at the minute, and last week obviously the group stage has ended, so we had did we have 2 or 3 days there without the Euros?
And you flicked that on, did you?
No, Jesus, no. Even when you're away from Sheldon, I never watched it. But and our own Maura Higgins flying the flag for Longford, I never dipped into it. But I was just gonna say herself's been very good. She's relegated herself to watching it on the player on the phone while the Euros has been on. But last week I said to her, oh, do you know what? You can have the telly for the next 3 nights. Local hero.
Very kind, very kind.
Yeah. It was like Homer Simpson, local hero. Anyway, Bray Longford.
1-1.
1-1, just like that.
Yeah.
It was 1-1 at the Carlisle early in the season when Bray scored with the last kick of the game. We should say as well, best wishes to Chris Lyons, who's retiring from the game due to injury at age of 31. That's a shame. He's had a good League of Ireland career. He's played for both of these clubs. Go on. 1-1, why not?
One the town, yup. Both.
Altai, he's taking the wind out of our sails. He goes 1-0 to Bray.
Oh. Okay, fair enough.
I do think Christian Magerson's a guaranteed goal scorer here.
Nah.
Harps against Kerry?
Yeah, tough old trip this. I think Harps,
Harps struggle in this fixture, don't they?
They do, but also I'd be buoyed by the fact that they manage the number of chances they created. Like, I think, like, obviously Jack Brady did
a few times. Said that a few times about Harps this season, though.
Yeah, but I just think...
Oh, they're getting in the right positions and it'll come, and it doesn't come.
No, I know that, and it doesn't always, you know... You know, people going, oh, what's for you won't pass you? That's total bullshit. Like, I just think though in this game, I think Jack Brady did a lot of good work for Longford Town to prevent a lot of those goals going in, and at the same time they created a number of chances. So
I'm going to say 1-0 to Finn Harps.
I'm going 1-1, and so is Al as well. Wexford, again, I think Kerry will get a goal late on. I think Harps, it'll be the same old story, create a lot of chances, won't score them, and Kerry will sting one late. Wexford against Cork.
2-0 Cork. I don't think Lewis Hempel will be in time. He'll probably start as well, though. Would he have to? Suppose, you know, they need to do something to stop these goals going in. I don't see Wexford scoring here. I'm going to go 2-0 to Cork.
Yeah, I'm going to follow you. 2-0 Cork. I'll go 1-0 to Cork City. UCD against Athlone Town.
This is going to be a tight game. This is what? This second versus third, it is.
Yeah, there's only 2 points between them.
Yeah, and do you think Athlone could leapfrog them?
No.
You don't?
Not on this.
What do you think? What way is this going?
3-1 UCD.
What?
Yeah.
Why? How is 3-1?
We'll see.
All right, okay. I'm going to go 2-all.
Ooh, okay. Al's gone 2-1 to
UCD.
UCD's. No one expecting Athlone to win there.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think, you know, UCD were not afraid of conceding goals either. And with Dean Abbey up front. Yeah. No. I think 2-all is a good shout.
I like Al's next prediction. I have to say, we're going into the Premier Division now, and this is a fixture that gives us nightmares every time it comes up. Sligo Rovers against Derry City. Al is going for a BTS classic here, a 1-1 draw. And yeah, I think I might be going the same.
Well, do you know what I'm going to go? So I get chirped at a lot anytime. I got one anyway, some dedicated Derry fan and dedicated podcast fan chirping up about Derry.
Joss
at the Brandywell, that was it. Thank you very much. After slaughtering the team rooted to the bottom of the table. But look, yeah, no, it's maybe it was a bit harsh on Derry's home form. But look, at this game is away, it's in the showgrounds. I'm going to go for a 1-0 win to Sligo.
Oh, wow. You've done a full 360 when it comes to Sligo.
No, I haven't. Not at all. I just think, like, you know, they'll be buzzing. McGinty back. Getting the win against Shamrock Rovers there at the weekend. Yeah, look, it's and Derry always fill the togs in this one. Regular tog fillers here. So I'm going to go 1-0 to Sligo. Yeah,
okay, I'm following Alan, going 1-1. Waterford against St. Pat's.
This is going to be a real test for Waterford. Do you think Adan goes straight in?
It's going to be a real test for Pat's too.
Waterford, oh, sorry, I meant to say Pat's. Excuse me. I don't think I think I'd be leaning heavily towards Waterford for this one.
Really heavily.
Yeah, heavily. I think. Keith Long has a group of players homing along lovely. A real good group, working very well for each other. They're in third place. They deserve to be there. Why wouldn't they be favourites for this game? Really?
Because Stephen Kenny's in town.
Oh, just stop. Just stop the lights. As Ethan said a few weeks ago, when we were talking about the draw, and the Gibraltar teams came up, and he was like, sure, Kenny could barely beat Gibraltar in the couple of times he played them. So, I'm going for a 1-0 win. No, a 2-1 win to Waterford.
Okay, I'm going to go 1-1 again. I'm really using up my quota of 1-1 draws this week.
You need to get taxed.
I just think, as I said, Pat's, Kenny slowly put the pieces in place. I think this is the sort of game going away from home. He'd be looking just for a well-organized performance. I think if they come away with a point.
My concern is that they can't bloody score. I know I'm basing that off one game, but like, you can't create that many chances and not do something. I just think Waterford are just beautiful at the moment. So
I just want to have a quick look at the table here. Pat's on 28 points. Shamrock Rovers are only 3 points ahead of them, 6 points to them and Waterford, although Pats have played two games more than those two teams. But like, a fourth place finish isn't out of the question yet for St. Pat's. So I think just
A bit
like Drogheda, I said earlier, need to cling on to the coattails of Dundalk. Pats need to just cling on to the coattails of struggling Rovers and whoever else is in that general vicinity of the table. I think they'll get a result here. I'm going to go 1-1. Alan's going 2-2, so we're all expecting goals, which is good. Galway against Bowes. I don't think we'll be expecting too many goals here. Is that fair to say?
I think it is, but Bowes have had a nice bit of time in recent years down in Galway.
Few new faces in the door, as we said.
What do you think here?
Very tight game.
Mm.
Definitely under 2.5 goals anyway.
Definitely under.
Yeah. Why not? I'm going through the card at the minute with 1-1s. I'll stick another one down here. 1-1.
No, I think Galway will win this.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, 1-0 to Galway.
Al goes 1-0 Galway as well. That brings us to Drogheda against Shelburne. No love lost between the two managers here.
No, certainly not. But do you think this is going to be a very tough game? Very, very tough game.
I wonder, can Shane Farrell play in this? I wonder, was there a little agreement made maybe that he doesn't play in this one?
Nah, I wouldn't say so. No. No, he's playing. I would say 1-0 to Shells.
The classic.
Yeah, I just think, yeah, it's a classic, but also, like, I think Kev Doherty just has to, like, stop goals going in. That's all there is. Like, there's nothing else for it. Just please stop conceding goals. Yeah, I'm going to go with 1-0 to Shells. So I don't think it'll be a great game. It might even be like an early goal and draw it on my huff and puff, but just not get it over the line.
Although I was at the game at the last game of last season when Shells qualified for, well, finished fourth and then waited on the cup, but they were 2-0 down against Drogheda and then won 4-2, and it was an absolutely brilliant game.
Yeah,
there was a red card in there that turned the game as well. So a lot went on in that one. But I think Drogheda might score in this one if they can get a few bodies back. If Farrell is playing, I think they might score. But I think Shells will have too much for them. I'm going to go 2-1 to Shelburne. Al is going 2-0 to his team, Shelburne. And our final game is an interesting one, Gary. Shamrock Rovers against Dundalk.
This is in Tala as well, isn't it?
Tala, la, 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 la.
Yeah. 2-0 to Shamrock Rovers.
Easy as that.
Easy.
Hmm.
I know I've been top of the weekly table, not the season table, but I've been top in the last few weeks, so I'm maybe I'm overconfident at the moment trying to reel in the listeners, but I don't know, they just have to go and do it at some point. And I don't think Dundalk will be able to live with it, even with John Daly and their few new additions in the side.
I will go 1-0 to Shamrock Rovers.
Yeah, I was about to eat your head off if you went ranting for that.
Well, they got a point. They got a point here on the first night of the season.
Ah, go away from around me, will you?
Al goes 2-1 to Shamrock Rovers. So that's the BTS Predictions League. Some interesting predictions there. We'll see how that plays out on Thursday night. Let's go to the BTS hotline.
Just while you go on to the BTS hotline, we had who was that? LFC Sam?
Sammy, yeah.
Yeah, had a query in about doing like other comparisons for teams.
Yeah, so for anyone that missed the episode where Sam first came on our radar, he sent in a great question asking us to compare all 20 League of Ireland clubs to drinks, and we had good fun with that. We had a really good segment.
He's asked, he did the Premier as well.
No, we didn't. Or did we? Oh, we did. Yeah, sorry. But it was still good fun. He's asked us to go even further this time and compare all 20 League of Ireland clubs to some sort of food item. So
yeah,
this is going to take a bit of thinking, Sam. So you're going to have to leave that one with us. You want to see our WhatsApp? It's full of scutter, lad. There is some dreadful stuff going back and forth. So leave it with us, Sammy.
Yeah.
We'll move on to Jer O'Brien, not the lad that played for Pats, but a dedicated listener all the same.
I think it's Jer O'Brien, actual Jer O'Brien. Well, not saying that this fella isn't Jer O'Brien, but I think it's his birthday today. So happy birthday, Jer.
Do a prediction slot weekly for the European games. It will probably be short and maybe not so sweet. Well, look, we will have a pod before the European games next week. So
we will be predicting them.
Doing that. Peeps Nation has got a couple of questions, and maybe more so statements, if anything. Derry showing a different kind of intent these days. Don't know if it's personnel, opposition analysis, or just plain stumbling across it, but seem to be trying to be a bit more direct and paying off. Title race going down to the last game. Hashtag spicy. And then he says, Drogheda in previous years were built on defensive solidity and not shooting themselves in the foot. Last night, their naivety in defending was there to see. Don't look like they know what is needed in this division. Doomed, unfortunately.
Drogheda are doomed. Unfortunately, it's looking like that. I think, as regards the first piece, if that's the case, like to be quite honest, I haven't been able, you know, physically able to watch an entire Derry game this season, just because it's so bad. But if it's as outlined by Peeps Nation there, that they've, well, probably Rory, I know he listens to the pod, has actually taken on the advice and gotten rid of the 300 million passes and playing through the thirds and all of that shite, and that they have actually become more direct, getting the ball into Bahubin quicker, letting him score the goals. Well, if that's the case, then we might really have a title challenge from Derry. I know that they were never far away, and there is a good lock of games left. What, 4 or 5 points in the difference now, is it?
Two,
excuse me, Jesus. So if that's the case, then why can't they go and win it? We've kind of written them off, but that's just because they've been playing so boring, such boring football, and dropping points when they have absolutely no business to be dropping points. So yeah, look, I'm going to. It's interesting. Maybe I will flick on some evening. Flick on a Derry game to see how they're actually performing. If they are playing more direct and playing with a bit more urgency and pace in there.
Thursday will tell a tale. Brian says, I'm intrigued to see who Bowes bring in, let go. I think we've already touched on it, that they really need to start looking for a striker now next on their agenda. Jack Kelleher, Cork City again struggling to create chances and break down a low block in Bray. Wade Slater is a serious keeper also. Yeah, I looked at Wade Slater when he came into the league, and I think he was playing at a low enough level in England, and I was like, yeah. Oh, I'm not sure how this lad's going to get on, but he has been excellent this season. But come on, Jack, give it a rest, lad. Top of the league, who cares?
But isn't that an issue like for next season?
Yeah, look, on a serious note, we talked about on last week's pod or the week before that they are going to need a serious overhaul if they're to stay up in the Premier Division. But enjoy it for now. I know the football's not great, but you could switch places with Longford Town if you prefer. And Mick says, at Gary Riley, dross at the Brandywell, Gary.
Yep,
give us more of that insightful analysis, please. Hashtag do your homework.
Very good. Yeah. Look, a bit of a recency bias there from that caller. But look, I've already addressed that. Maybe I do have to review it. And as I said, maybe watch a few more Derry games. But you have to admit it's been... You know, plenty of fans and plenty of people looking for Higgins' head a lot of times this season.
Yeah.
The football has been brutal for a long time. So if it's changing now, great. Shows that we were right. Don't really know what else you want me to say, pal.
If they win the league, you can bring the trophy down to BTS HQ here. We'll take the praise.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We'll gladly accept all the thank yous and the regards from Derry.
Yeah, look, that is this week's Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It was great to have Georgie Kelly on the show. I really do hope he has a great season in England. He really deserves it over there. Great to have the listeners back on the hotline this week. We had a bit of a mini pod last week. We didn't bother with a hotline, but great to have the hotline there. Some really interesting questions. So keep those coming as the season goes on. But as ever, this was Between the Stripes LOI podcast with Kieran Burke and Gary Riley, brought to you by Quinn AV. Check out quinnav.ie for all your sound, lighting and AV solutions. But until next week, thanks for listening. We'll see you again soon.
Thanks for listening.
Check out betweenthestripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.